the Lord, and good afternoon, saints and good Bereans out there. This is Kelly McGinley, your host with the Berean Chronicles. Coming to you live. I'm a little late. Again, my one-hour shows are being short because, well, Tuesday, January the 5th, 2010. Did anybody ever think they'd ever live to the year 2010? That would ever happen. Here we are. It was hard to believe we ever made it to the year 2000. And now 2010, time flies when you're having fun. So it is January 2010 already, and it is flying. I'm trying to, all of a sudden, I forgot what date it was. January the what? Oh, 5th. January the 5th, 2010, Tuesday, and I will not be on the rest of this week. And it's quite sad because there's a lot of news, but y'all don't really need me the news more than just encouragement not to be brainwashed by the news. One thing we try to do here at the Berean Chronicles is just to give a little bit of sanity to all the insanity that we're completely surrounded with. And part of that sanity is that we'll never know the whole truth about what's going on anywhere. What we've learned is that nothing is ever as it seems. That there is a conspiracy, we know that from the scriptures, and that there'll be a conspiracy to destroy our souls, and the insanity all around us is there purposely to help destroy us all. And that, you know, Satan and his minions and all his helpers, the wicked, in this wicked world we live in, this evil, wicked world we live in, is out there constantly trying to set traps and snares. And you know, it's what's going on in the heavenlies that's more important than what's going on here, the spiritual battles that's going on. And I read those books a long time ago, not that that guy's trustworthy, I forget it, where what was happening on earth, the spiritual battles going in heaven that were going on top of what was happening on earth. Sometimes you can feel those spiritual battles swirling. You can feel the dark clouds coming. You can feel when the good angels are having to fight some of your battles up there in the spiritual realm, and it's praise God they're there, praise God they're helping, and you know, he didn't leave us here all by ourselves. We've got the Holy Spirit, we've got the Word of God, which is powerful, does all the work of God, and we've got ministering angels. We have protection. At the same time, there might be a time where we're protected. Say, as John the Baptist was protected, yet he still lost his head. The cousin of our Lord and Savior. So we know we can't look through earthly eyes at anything that's going on, no matter if it comes to our detriment. We look through spiritual eyes, understanding what God is doing, the big picture, understanding His ways are not our ways, and that there is a bigger picture out there. And we don't know what it is. There's plenty of people going to come tell you what it is. Oh, yeah, especially at the beginning of this year, we've got all these profiteers. And profiteers, that's a good name for them. Profiteers, profiting with money, and prophecy buffs. They're all coming forward having their little prophecy conferences and all the big ones. And all of this tells us what's going to happen. And they make a lot of money, $250 billion. Because people, tickling ears, itchy ears, want to hear these things. And we have got to learn to be satisfied with just the Word of God that He's given us. And His wisdom, and the fear of God, and knowledge, and humbling, you know, loving people. I mean, it's, you know, for some of us out there, it might be kind of boring. People are, part of our sinful nature is wanting more excitement. Boy, they're out there ready to give it to us, aren't they? I, for one, got where I don't like any excitement. Because I also know most of it's to yank this string, heart string, fear string, this string, you know, everything in all of us. And to be shielded from the world out there. The thing is also we live in this world. The Lord has not wanted to take us out of this world. He is, I all of a sudden want to read that prayer that the Lord prayed for His disciples. And right before um before he was arrested. And I'm not sure exactly where it is, so I guess I better not read it. I guess I better not. I'll come to it some other time. Yeah, there it is. There it is. I found it. It's in John. I figured it was. And maybe we'll read that today. Because when it comes to me like that, I just like to go read it. But he's put us in the world and has us here for, you know, for our own good. You mean we might have to go through persecution and trials by fire, and we might have to go through tribulations because it's good for us? Yeah, it'll be good for us. Yuck. And I'm like, yuck, I don't like things that are good for me. But we're there. There's a lot going on in the news right now, and of course, if you, in Alabama, I think it's, you know, quite funny, they might get me arrested. But some, and you wonder if it's part of the start of the Civil War, the militias out there doing this, and if Alabama's the first state, and I guess we'll sit around and wait and see. But some practical joker, where's my paper? I must have got the wrong paper because I didn't put it in the front page, and I didn't grab the second part of it, goofball, Kelly. But, oh, here it is, no. Where the anthrax, supposed hoax, the anthrax hoax, where it went out to nine of our leaders here in Mobile, and they got a picture of what it came, and they were mailed from Montgomery. Here the one that came to the Honorable Joe Bonner, and it looks like a little bit like a kid's writing, not too much, but it's at 11 North Water Street, so Joe Bonner, our congressman, Republican congressman, I think they were given all to Republicans. From my research, everything went to Republicans. Shelby, Sessions, Joe Bonner. And these are all people who pretend to be Republicans who aren't. So, and Mike Rogers. And it says, and here it has Shelby's, Joe Bonner's office here in Mobile at 11 North Water Street. So I start thinking, well, maybe that's the tower, our high tower in Mobile, the highest tower, is 11 North Water Street instead of 33 Water Street. And I don't know. I need to RSA buildings, it's called, and re-look it up because, you know, I could have messed up in my brain as to which number it is. But both of them, of course, Genesis 11, Tower of Babel. And if he's in that, Joe Bonner's in that tower, probably he is. It's 11 North Water Street. But anyway, that's the picture. They're showing us the envelope in Mobile. And on the picture of the envelope, showing us the envelope, it doesn't really have a stamp seal like I use at my office here. You know, like a regular U.S. stamp seal. Not a stamp, but the, one of those meter readings. I have a meter here. Well, there's not a meter. What they have here is Montgomery, Alabama, 360, December 29th, p.m., 1T, and then has a picture of a duck with glasses with a hat on and a necktie. I see no, that is not a stamp. That is not a U.S. meter. I don't know where it is, what it is. I don't know how it ever ended up in the mail or how it ever got to anybody. But that is not a stamp. So, but supposedly that was, of course, white powder that turned out to be harmless. I'm not sure what it is. But also a threatening letter. And they didn't bother to tell us what threats are in it. And I would like to know the threatening letters. You know, you're going to be, if you do the health care bill, this is what you got in account. Well, I mean, what is it? I wonder what the threat is. Why can't they let us know? And I can tell you, I doubt it's Al-Qaeda. I'm sure it's some type of militia, the part of the Civil War, you know, little beginnings of it coming. It's some type of, you know, white supremacist types. I got a letter downstairs from this guy over about an hour from Mobile, and he has a newspaper out called First Freedom. And he used to hang out where we all went back when, and he's a racist, anti-Semitic Christian. Hangs out with all the Christians, and I'm telling you, he's severe racist. And he's one of them, you know, Southern, Confederate, that wants to, conquer, militia wants to take over the, retake America. And, and he got so bad. I mean, you just like, he would take my articles and print them in his magazine, in his newspaper, like I was agreeing with him. So you're never allowed to print my stuff in there ever again. I even had this wonderful black man call me one day. He says, because I was on the regular radio, he said, why are you allowing your stuff in that thing? And I said, and I didn't even realize it was so racist and so anti-Semitic. Because I'm thinking, if he's a Christian, because I was real dumb at one time, thinking that nobody was that racist anymore. And I didn't realize the Southern Confederate types are very racist. So, anyway, needless to say, this is not a stamp on an envelope. Number one, it could not have gone through the mail. Weird. Number two, so maybe they just dropped them all off. I don't know. Number two, there's a threatening letter in there, and they're not letting us know what it says. I want to know. Number three, who sent it, of course, is it the Alex Jones types that are out there? Possibly, probably. And is it going to be about health care and all the other things? Another thing what we're going to get ready, we need to get into is that, with this increase of possible terrorist attempts going on, it has a lot to do, I believe, with the fact that there's not any justice for Blackwater and for the killings of innocent people in Iraq. And, most of the time, can't you just pretend to have some justice on these Blackwater guys? Can't you just fake it, please? You know what I'm saying? Why do they have to just come out and say it was dropped on a technicality? All of it was dropped. Basically, we know that they all had immunity over there because George Bush gave Blackwater and everybody else immunity over there. No matter what kind of terrible things they did, they got immunity. But, if all this hits the paper that they, number one, have immunity, number two, they have, their court case was dismissed on a technicality. Well, what do you think that's going to make the angry? You know, our country is going about trying to make terrorists want to come kill us. And it could be some terrorists are ingrown, it could be those just promoting it like our government does, or our government behind it, which, we know happened like 911. So, I mean, you they don't even have to be behind it because they can just create some over there in the Middle East. They can just create them like in Yemen and other places because of the terrible things, because they can report what our country's doing. Our country should be trying to do peace at all costs. And instead, that's not what they're doing. And, I would rather have accidentally have a terror. And they want you to think they're going to kill us because we're infidels and we're not Muslim. That's a lie. That's not why they'd want to come after us. They want to come after us because that's how they seek justice. Because they know they can't get it in the court system. That's like militia over there. And the militia in this country is thinking the same thing. So all you have to do is get people mad is not to have any justice in the world. That gets people upset. And that's purposely being done to purposely make them upset. It's not an accident. So I think the increase of everything that's happening has a lot to do with this Blackwater case. I mean, just recently, even today, I was looking at the TV this morning, and they closed down New Jersey, that airport in New Jersey. Somebody, and I mean, the amount of people, I saw a video on it, I guess on the thing, the amount of people at that airport, unbelievable. But a man who breached security controls at Newark Liberty International Airport resulted in major delays in grounding flights for 6 hours. They've just, today, that was yesterday, or the day before yesterday, because that's today's paper, so it happened yesterday, excuse me. 2 days before that, Washington, D.C.'s airports closed down because of a computer glitch for several hours. Power failure briefly closed the D.C. airport. And they closed this airport here. And today we have in Bakersfield, California, close to Edwards Air Force Base, where I lived for a while. In Bakersfield, California, they just closed that airport because of some bag that they found. And of course, we know the Christmas Day crotch bomber. And then we had the ornament, the strange ornament bomber. So it's you know, you're wondering. I think that, you know, I really think these might be actual people mad trying to bring justice because no justice was served with Blackwater's killing in Iraq. At the same time, we've got our country wants to go into Yemen. They want to increase the war on terror, so you've got to have more funds, you have to have more people, and plus they want to bring in more and continue the Patriot Act. So you have all these things playing together at the same time. And as I was saying at the beginning of the show, you know, we don't ever going to know what's all true. And I'm sure they use many crises, every crisis, to help their way. In my paper today, I mean, supposedly they're alert to find, I mean, you know, one guy was on Fox News and he says, we need to start profiling. If you have a Muslim or a Middle Eastern descent, even though we're black, you know, African looking from Africa, not Nigeria looking, which is different than some of the blacks in this country. But if you have people from these countries and they're trying to come into our country or get onto our airlines, they need to be profiled. It's not racial profiling. It's called crazy profiling. They're in an age group. I mean, instead of telling a two-year-old she can't have her night-night blankie on the plane, because since when is a two-year-old or a family, an American family, ever taken down an airline? Never. So they don't need to be profiled. But if you have a Middle Eastern person who is not from here, and even if there is one from here, so there's been a lot more people added to the no-fly. There's a lot more people. They are bumping it up. But in my paper here, it says right here, for the first day, it says enforcement seen as spotty for news. And then you got the Alex Jones who's getting all upset about having more enforcement. Now, I don't think they should enforce it on every person. I don't think they should enforce the strip searches on a two-year-old white little girl. Or black little girl, any two-year-old boy, unless they are from Middle Eastern, because they'll use kids, they'll blow up kids faster than anybody. But I don't think they should be. I have an article in the paper today about a little two-year-old little girl who wasn't allowed to have her pillow on the flight. Coming in from, you know, that's crazy. They need to be profiling them. Because of the policies of this country, we have purposely and not accidentally created some terrorists, and so don't profile the average American, especially child, babies. We know the age group, 17 to 30, Middle Eastern mainly descent, Nigerian descent, and from whatever country they're coming from. But, yeah, we know we've got some, and if they've been to these other countries, uh-huh. And if they're British raised in their public schools, and private schools, well, I'd put them on a list. you'll catch a lot of them that way. But supposedly, I have a news article here about a family that's coming back to the States from Aruba. After this, they got to the airport 4.5 hours early. Because coming back to the States from Aruba and what they went through. And everybody supposedly was strip searched. Even the two-year-old, they just patted down. They weren't strip. Excuse me. They were not strip searched. Everybody was patted down. But they didn't pat down the two-year-old girl. But she was not allowed to have her blankie and her pillow on the flight. When it came time, an hour before the flight, you can't have the thing. Well, give me a break. You mean I can see this guy on Christmas Day, he puts a blanket over himself. And he tells everybody since when does a bomber tell everybody, oh, everybody, I'm not feeling good, I'm going to put a blanket over me. Now, who does that on an airplane? Kelly, I fly a lot. And when I cover up, I don't tell him, I don't announce it that Kelly's getting ready to cover up. Because I don't feel well, or if I feel well, I'm freezing. What? I don't announce it. I might tell my husband next to me, but I'm not announcing it. I thought that was weird, didn't y'all? That he announced it to everybody around him that he's not feeling well, he's covering up. And so he covers up with a blanket and supposedly trying to light his crotch or something. Psh. Didn't work, thank goodness. Praise the Lord. Well, that was just ridiculous. But now little babies can't have their blankies in the pillows because he covered up with a blanket now. And it's only 1 hour before the flight's over that you can't cover up. Oh, so he can now bomb the plane. Say it's a four-hour flight. He can bomb that plane the first 3 hours. Just can't bomb it the fourth, the last hour. Now, how dumb is that? You either have no blankets, period, on the trip. No coach. No carry-ons. Nothing. And so, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, what do you mean you can't have a blanket the last hour? See, these are crazy things. Why don't you just... They better not put Kelly in charge. They're not going to do any crazy dumb stuff. So it says right here, my mobile press is on the first... I haven't even read the scripture yet. On the first day, that was supposed to be tighter screening... ordered by the U.S. for airline passengers from certain countries, some airports around the world conceded Monday that they had not cracked down. The United States demanded more careful screening for people who are citizens of or are flying from 14 nations deemed security risks, but enforcement of the U.S. rule of the U.S. rules appeared spotty. I mean, so that's the thing. You have to depend on other airports from these other countries doing what's right. I mean, my thing is, don't fly to these countries, people. Don't let them even come in our country. So they're saying that they're saying here that so we have 14 countries that they've added to the, you know, to be demand more careful. Among these nations are Cuba, Iran, Sudan, Syria. Nigeria, of course, you're probably on there. Nigeria, one of the nations of the U.S., list for additional security. There were long lines the first day of the new rules at the airport in the capital of Lagos. She had been told to show up there way ahead of time. She was coming in to Atlanta. So passengers arriving at the U.S. airports on international flights describing a wide range of screening methods from being separated by gender and being patted down to nothing more than invasive than normal airport security. The U.S. intelligence officials said the government had moved the names of dozens of people into the terrorism watch list and its no-fly list after reviewing the government's database of suspected terrorists. So that's good. Now maybe they're paying attention a little better. And I'm not to say here that everything out there is fake, because the policies this country has created... some problems for all of us, and we're responsible for the policies of this. What you and I can't be, because it's the Masons doing it, the secret societies. There's no way to ever stop it. Well, we got people here in this state of Alabama think they can stop it by sending threats to our congressmen. You know, I don't think that'll stop it, but it'd be interesting to know. Did you find it, Shara? She said she was going to look, see if it's in it. They are not going to do it. They're not reporting what the threats are in the letters sent to the Alabama representatives. That, you know, that makes me mad. Because, you know, those threats are probably some good ones. I mean, I don't think there's ever a threat you should do, because you're going to get in trouble. And Christians don't do that, true Christians. But I think we need have a right to know what those threats are. Is it if they sign the health care bill, if they don't fight against it? I mean, it'd be interesting to know. Is it because of what happened with Blackwater? Because, you know, Sessions and Shelby, they ought to do something about that. Or is it, you know, you don't know if it's the right or the left. Could it be the left because they're not voting for health care that they're getting these? From the left, leftists out there. Or the rightist. You don't know if they're getting it from the right because they're not doing their job. Or the left because they're not doing... They're not voting for the health care. I mean, who knows? We've got so many wackos out. We've got fanatics on all sides. And I got a letter from one of our listeners. He says, Kelly, oh boy, our Alex is top... Not our Alex. Alex is taking the cake again. He said, don't get mad at me, but I watch TV sometimes. And Alex Jones, just an analyst, Alex Jones, just to catch up on... what they're promoting is news, and I listen to you each day. But today, Alex Jones, paraphrase, says he's not attacking homos, but he's attacking the right-wing conservative Christian groups who go to the Bohemian Grove to take part in homosexual acts. And he says that, and so he's attacking that the right-wing Christian conservatives, who, you know, like George Bush. I will say there's plenty out there that are claiming to be, but he says what Alex doesn't bother to do, he says that's a blatant lie. No real Christian would ever take part in any of that, and Alex doesn't bother to point out the fact that real Christians would not do that. Why couldn't he make it clear that fake Christians don't do that, and that these are people that are secret society members and part of the wicked conspiracy and not real Christians? He's not that stupid, says Billy Joe. He says, I guess he wants to be politically correct among the gay people. And supposedly I've heard a few of his shows recently, and he's been, you know, supporting the gays and him and Ron Paul and who else? What's his name? That got arrested for beating up his wife, pulling a knife on his wife, Sheen. And they're all, you know, pro-homosexuals. Anyways, have a blessed day. God bless Billy Joe. Hey, Billy Joe. So, you know, I don't know how you can, I can't listen to it. I already know what he says without ever listening to him. It's pretty bad, isn't it? If you listen to him one time, you know what he'll say the rest of your life about everything. You could just, I mean, you can know he's ranting and raving, and he'll take every situation like this whole industry about this. You can know he's attacking what our government's doing, taking more away of our rights. And, you know, that they're going to be, that it's all fake and they're using it just to take more rights, and a lot of that's true. But he doesn't think that we need good security on our airports. And because our country is creating a bunch of terrorists out there, we need more security. I, for one, fly a lot. I'd like a little bit of security. I remember flying from long before 911, flying to Israel. When I was leaving Israel, I was scared to death of a bomb on our plane. And they had, because, you know, over there, there's terrorists all the time. And you don't know which one's a terrorist, because everybody's a terrorist. Scary. And I feared, and so we got there. They wanted us to, you know, when we went on a tour and we were away from our baggage, we had our baggage together at breakfast, and then our tour guide had someone watch over our baggage while we went off and toured something that morning. But they wanted us to, it's a Christian tour, people, and they wanted us to lie, which Christians don't lie. They wanted us to lie about our baggage, that we'd been with our baggage all along, and we hadn't, and we packed it ourselves, and we, you know those questions they ask you. Have you been with your luggage? Did you pack it? Has it been in your side all along? And you want us to say yes when it really hadn't. But if you say no, then they're gonna go through all our luggage. And I'm like, well, I want them to go through my luggage. I want to make sure a bomb hadn't been planted on my luggage. I was scared. Well, we get to the airport, and who do you think they pull out of line? Me, the dark skinned person. And they pull us all out of line, and they pull my family out too. I told, please search my bag. You know, I want all of them searched. And you should search our whole party's bag, because they're lying, you know. I was scared, and because of that, you just never know. What a great way to put a bomb in a Christian tour group's bags, because they're not with them all day. And so, when we got back to America, I had the best breath of relief. But I'll tell you, nobody checks things better than the Israelis, because they're used to it. So when you go to get on their airlines, they've been searched pretty well. Unless, you know, they don't search everybody. They've x-rayed them real well. There have been airports in this country that have the scanning that scans you. They've been in this country now for a few years. Why is all of a sudden Alex Jones going crazy? Because they're going to scan us, and they can see through us. They can see through your house. They can see through your clothes in your house. Nowadays, they've got every kind of technology out there to do this stuff with. You know, we're just got to, you know, that's just life. And technology's going to keep going until they read your mind. And they've pretty much got those around out there, too. You talk about, you know, them seeing your body, they're also reading your thoughts. They're trying to, anyways. I don't think they've gotten that far. Satan would like to read our thoughts. I don't believe they really have gotten that far. But, so, I mean, anyway, with Alex Jones, you know what he's saying. Every day, you don't even have to listen to him. Sherry says, dark-skinned person, welcome to the club. Yeah, well, my mom went to Santo Domingo once, and they didn't let her come home. She got into airport to come back, and they quarantined her like she belonged there, and she didn't have a passport to get out of there, or like she was trying to leave. I think it was like the Dominican Republic, and she had to stay a day or two longer because she was so dark. So, yeah, you know. All right. The scripture I was going to read about, you know, the Lord's got us here for a reason. And it's not for violence. It's not for restitution. It's not for vengeance. It is not for retaking this country. It is not for worried about our rights. It is not for vengeance. You know, it's just not for any of those things. Vengeance is not for any of that. He's got us all here. And he chooses us to stay in this wicked world. And Jesus prays for his disciples, and then he prays for his future followers, and he says, verse 7, chapter 17, John 17, verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and now he's praying to the Lord. Anyway, it starts verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. Verse 5. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested my name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Which is what you and I got to do. Now they have known that all things whatsoever that thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. And they have known surely that I came from thee, I came out from thee, and that they have believed that thou didst send me. And I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I came to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. He's praying that these people will be kept, in other words, on the, not the no-fly list, on the Lamb's Book of Life list. We want to keep on that list. And that they may be one as we are. And while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. You mean someone could get lost? Yes. But the son of perdition. So Judas got lost. And the scripture, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. When I always ask the Lord, keep y'all from evil, me from evil, it's from this verse right here. Keep us from evil. From us doing evil, number one, from evil getting us. He says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. He wants us here. We're all being tried by fire. Not bad yet, but it might get that way. But thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But thou hast sent me into the world. Even so have I also sent them into the world. So the Lord God, our Father, sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to show us how to live and what to do. And to love others like he did. And to lay down our lives for others as he did for us. He says, and thou hast sent me into the world. Even so, I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. That's you and I. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and thou and me, and they, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So the love the Father had for Son is in us for others. Wow. That's a great prayer right there. And so the Lord wants us here, because we are His feet and His hands, His mouth, His tongue, His eye. We are His here on earth to the lost and dying world. And for those who teach Christianity as a part of all this other junk, is a lie. It's not what it is. 100% not what it is. So the love that he loves us, he has put in him, he's put in us. The love of the Father, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ had for lost souls. And we saw how the Lord handled the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the lawyers, and the elite, and the secret society people. But for the poor, regular folk, he loved, and he loved everyone. He loves the whole world. But he was harsh. He was tough love for the Sadducees, Pharisees, tough love. And then he was a soft, warm love for those who were lost, and who are being used and abused and oppressed. And as things get worse, there's going to be a lot of oppressed people, and the healthcare system comes, and everything happens, oppression will come. And that's who his heart goes out to the most. We all know that. That's where his heart is, for sure. All right, so thanks, Billy Joe, your little letter from about Alex Jones. No doubt. Well, I'll tell you, not only is Alex Jones, I'm sure, pushing the same thing, that this kind of stuff, the world is coming to an end, but also Gerald Salante is going to be on Worldview Weekend, and they have an hour-long video of Gerald Salante and his 2010 predictions. And he's going to be on Coast to Coast with George Norrie, which is on your regular AM station, 710, our most number one, the same station that the same station that Rush Limbaugh, who's recovering from his heart attack, Rush Limbaugh is out on. Same one, I don't think Neil Bortz, he's out on another one, but all the big wigs out there. The same station they're all on, that's the same one George Norrie and George Salante and Alex Jones goes on, okay? Well, Gerald Salante is on Worldview Network with Brandon House, which I thought was very interesting, and of course, it's like Groundhog Day, as Sherrod pointed out. It's like Groundhog Day. He keeps coming up with his same, the world's coming to an end. Information, but he changes the dates because it hasn't happened yet. This cracks you up. So here it is, Worldview Weekend. Please listen and email your friends. Brandon's Worldview Weekend. Brandon's guest for the entire program is George Salante. Mr. Salante found the trends research in 1980. George Salante is a pioneer trend strategist. He's author of the national bestseller Trends. And so he's coming on to talk about the world going. He says, this is what Brandon House says. Brandon's questioning to Mr. Salante include the following topics. Is the American dollar about to be devalued by 40% or more? Is it getting ready to crash? And we know what his question is. And he'll say, oh, yeah, it's getting ready to crash now. He told us it's going to crash last year. We said, what would a bank holiday mean and what could trigger such a reset of the American dollar? Well, we were supposed to have bank holidays last year that hadn't happened yet. How should Americans prepare and respond? Why is there the real potential for a major terrorist attack in the U.S. in 2010? Because we're creating terrorists. And what is the likelihood for massive inflation and even hyperinflation and the threat of a false flag operation? Martial law. This is the things he's talking about, Salanta. I mean, we should probably listen to it. I'm not putting it on my website, but we should probably listen to it in the show. And he was saying all this stuff in 2008. What about, he talks about having a, what about the rise of martial law and the rise of a third party in America? If you have martial law, you're not going to have a third party, sorry. What about regional and then world currency? And the largest bank robbery in America and the banksters, the Federal Reserve? Salanta and Brandon House will discuss a growing corporate fascism in America. And what did Governor Connally, who was in the car with President Kennedy the day he was killed, what did he tell Gerald Salanta? Also, Gerald Salanta's friends with the guy that was in the car with President Kennedy. Oh, he told him several years ago. And what does it have to do with what's happening in America today? Oh, so Gerald Salanta has inside information. Somebody very important came and told him stuff. You know this is all fake. And George Salanta only goes to all the Illuminatiists. Brandon House and Alex and all these double agents out there to scare everybody, fear-mongering. What will occur? Here's another question Brandon House can ask. What will occur if Israeli bombs Iran? And what will it mean for America and the cost of oil and thus gasoline? This is a fast-moving program and every issue discussed and help you understand the times to prepare and thrive as we live in the increasing perilous times. And maybe we'll listen to some of that next week. Because we're not doing, unless we have a whole hour, we want to sit here and listen to it together. But I think we know what all the answers to those already. We already know what he's going to say. These are the things he's been saying for years. So you feel like it's Groundhog Day, constantly. Here's his predictions. In 2008, Salanta predicted revolution, food riots, tax rebellion by 2012. So, I mean, we still are way under that, and so he predicted that way back then. In 2009, Salanta's predictions, which we've played these on our show over and over again throughout the last year, some of the things have not yet come. None of the things he has said have come true yet. And, you know, I need to put this guy on my folder here and all his predictions that haven't come through yet, okay? We got a lot of them. This is a website called chrismartinson.com and George Salanta's predictions. Collapse of 2009, he says there'll be bailouts and... He says we'll have a collapse of 2009. Government attempts all levels to increase taxes, fees, replace lost revenue. Cost to maintain operation is normal. We won't. The cost of bailouts continue. Taxpayers will resist rise of anti-tax. Anti-government movements will flourish. Tax revolt kits on how to get referendums to voters will be become available. You'll have the number two, the Great Depression. So we had a collapse of 2009. I didn't see it. Now, whether or not, of course, we've got friends of Alex Jones and militias doing all their stuff. So there is anti-government movements going on. And so they are rising of the anti-tax and the anti-government movements. So that part, yes. And that's why, because of you, George Salanta, one of the reasons. He says, well, have the greatest depression, a combination of factors will lead to this being the decline and the fall of the American empire. Serious question about safety of banks and money. Sales of safes and guns are rising dramatically. Increase in crime as economy deteriorates. Okay. He says the second American Revolution is coming. This is number three. These are his things. The second American Revolution, which Kelly's been reporting, no longer not a question of if, but when and how it will unfold. It will unfold because George Salanta's helping to provoke it, okay? Combination, you know, he's one of the main ones out there. him and Alex, and of course they go on the shows together, and Brandon House and George Norrie and all the Patriot networks out there, and it's just, yeah, they're working very heavily, hard towards this. I will say this is probably the only thing that he's talking about that will come true. And I pray, then I pray the Lord stops it. And that's in my prayers every day. Lord, stop this. Don't let them do it. Too many people will die. What question is, what will be the sparks? This is what he says. We're going to have a second American Revolution. And he's saying the combination of factors is action, government, bailout, special interest groups, you know, red and blue states. Question, he says, what will be the spark? And this is and will be unprecedented in American history. He says, number four, of his, these are 11 trends. Interesting number, right? 11. Because in our, the other revolution, these are his George Salante 11 trends. Right here, 11 trends. I'm reading it with my own two eyes. And this is for 2009. And you know. All right, so his 11 trends. Another guy came out with 33 conspiracies that were real conspiracies. So I thought that was an interesting number. He said he's going to come out with 50. I said, well, why'd you come out with 33? That's some weird number you chose there. So we have 11 trends here, which is, you know, that 11 number is a little handshake, secret handshake given to the wicked, so everybody knows what's happening. Number four, election of Obama marketed and sold to the world people as ushering a new political era. Obama's success will be a sleight of hand deception than integrity. Obama cabinet's largely retread of Clinton's team. No evidence Obama can ameliorate or arrest points one through three above. Economists slim fast. Americans will go into debt spending and fitness diet. Return of frugality. Bush gardens, increase of gardening and ways to become self-sufficient. Local efforts to reduce local cost of living. He says everybody's going to become more healthy. Whole health healing to replace costly, inefficient health care. Everybody's going to go to, Horowitz. Leonard. Oh, good, Leonard. Little people squeeze. Politician government to maintain status quo. But as revenue falls, a way to get money from the public. The government thinks of everything: sales, sin tax, fees, registrations. Historically, all governments fail when taxes become burdensome to the average person. We're going to have regenerative medicine, stem cell research, entertainment rebirth, cheap new forms of entertainment, and college crash. Cost too prohibitive and not enough to return to an investment. And what's funny is everybody's going staying to college because going to college because they can't find a job. So that was not what happened there. His predictions of 2008 will bring an economic 9-1-1. That didn't happen. I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't that bad, folks. He says as greed and corruption are seeded out, there'll be great opportunities for entrepreneurs to move into the failing system. He says the rise in food prices and property taxes people can no longer afford. There will be a revolt against the current system. So so George Salante is getting more airtime, and he's on for an hour on Brandon House talking about things, American Revolutionary War, talking about things that I just went over that just blow you away. The kind of questions Brandon House is going to ask him. Or even worse than those 11 trends there. Brandon House is really, what about martial law? How, what is the likelihood of massive inflation, hyperinflation? The threat of false flag operation, whatever that means. Martial law. Going to a one world currency. They're going to, Brandon House and Salante are going to discuss corporate fascism in America. And what did the guy that was sitting next to Governor Conley, who was sitting next to President Kennedy when they killed him, he told Gerald Salante a secret. And they're going to tell you on Brandon House today. Or was it yesterday? And And what does it have to do with happening in America today? And what will occur if Israel bombs Iran? You know. So, and how to prepare. Give me your money. How to prepare for these interesting, these understand the times. And then he's going to, of course, he'll use all this, Brandon House, to say the rapture is occurring soon. You know. And remember yesterday we were talking about the other guy that's talking about a Revolutionary War and the Second American Civil War. What was his name? Hart. You know, and I should have just checked on Wikipedia. I mean, duh. I should have gone to Wikipedia myself and checked this dude out. I mean, they got everybody on Wikipedia. Thank goodness they don't have me on there yet. But if they got you on there, it's not good. And so Kathy Palmer emailed me his information on this dude, whatever his name, Card. And this guy is a Mormon. Orson Scott Card is a Mormon, and he's kin to Brigham Young, 33-degree Mason Brigham Young. I told y'all he wanted to, where am I? See if I can find it. I got so much here. I hope I've been putting these on my page. I got so much here. Unbelievable that I want to talk about. There's just no way. Not enough time in the world. Here it is. Orson Scott Card. This guy is the guy that wrote the book Empire and then had the help with the video game Empire. Matter of fact, they had a video game empire that they wanted to put Chair Communications. If you go type in Chair Communications, I did that yesterday. It's very interesting. And so they have this empire, very violent. Everybody, you know, kill everybody to save the country. A lot like Shattered Union, came out about the same time. Shattered Union, United We Stood, in our country in a massive civil war. Well, this empire here, which is by Orson Scott Card, is a disturbing look at a possible future. And I read to you his afterword yesterday about how this could easily happen. This guy here is a Mormon. He's an outspoken Mormon. And, of course, he's against homosexuality, and he was pro-Bush. Good friend of George Bush. He was good friends of John McCain, supporter of McCain. So he's just your average right-wing fanatic. And let me just tell you about these Mormons, how they're so much into politics. And when I left the Republican Party, I was going to the Constitution Party and thought, oh, wow, this is great. They're pro-life and pro-family, and they're real good Christians and blah, 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 blah. And I go to the meeting, found out they're all Calvinists, Catholics and Mormons, and working together. And the Mormons that were part of this, that were held offices in the Constitution Party, were pro-choice, probably pro-homosexual. And these people weren't getting rid of them. I give you their name right now. I still remember it. And I don't remember names often, but I still remember the pro-abortion. And even what's his name from Pensacola that run for president now with Ron Paul, what's his face, Chuck Baldwin, he stood up for them pro-abortion members of the Constitution Party, which really messed people up. Anyway, at this time, Howard Phillips started the Council for National Policy with Sung Young Moon, and he started the Constitution Party, so it was a no-brainer to me that this whole thing was started by the Illuminatiists. And especially if they're working with Mormons, Catholics. So, you know, I just go, nope, they're all bad. And all the Calvinists that were there were all racist Calvinists. I'm so, oh, Lord, I got to, you know, this is sick. And Tom DeWeese was there, too. There was a lot of people that were there speaking. What's his name from Georgia? Forget all their names, but then a bunch of racists were all the guest speakers. I said, Lord, take me away out of here. This is horrifying. Well, so here you have this guy, and all those guys, they're all trying to promote. You guess who was there besides Tom DeWeese? But it was the head of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt, and Eric Pratt. And their members, all these are members of the CNP, folks. The whole Constitution Party is also CNP members. Makes you so mad. What a waste of money. I wasted a lot of money going to that stupid thing. I didn't waste it because I learned a lot. And I saw the conspiracy up front and close. And no, anyway, so this guy, this card guy that wrote this book, Empire, which is about our country in a massive civil war, and also did video games in the Civil War, kind of like Tim LaHaye did video games on his Left Behind, that Christians get in a fight. It's their Christian duty to stop the Antichrist. Well, this Orson Scott Card is descendant from Charles Orra Card, who's must be a big Mormon, and Brigham Young, 33 degree Mason Brigham Young. So, he has a significant role in Ender's Game, which I'm not sure exactly what that is. He used to teach some. So, anyways, he taught at some of the LDS's missions, and when he did, and at their schools. So he's just, trying to start. He's one of the Mormons out there trying to start a civil war. He's one of the Masons, and I'm sure he's a Mason also. If not, he don't need to, because that is a Masonic organization started by 33 degree Mason Joseph Smith. And run by Masons. And then they had this big massacre on September 11th, a long time ago. There's another guy out there named Morris Carrello. And Morris Carrello is getting ready to have a big meeting in where? He's got his own TV. Here it is. Morris Carrello, World Evangelism, live webcast. This guy, Morris Carrello, is getting ready to have a big, here it comes.
Oh, gross.
Stop. Gross. I can't stand to hear that demonic tongues. This guy is getting ready to have the World Conference in Orlando 2010. It's a webcast talking about it, or maybe he's already had it. 2010, he's going on right now as we speak. It goes through January 2nd through the 8th. Morris Carrello, God has spoken to him, and he prophesies all. But he's got the year 2010 is the year of nothing wanting. The number 10 means nothing wanting. No, it doesn't. Number 10 does not mean nothing wanting. So, this guy is like, 2010, George Shalante on one hand is going to be all hell breaks loose. And the end of the world is near. And then this guy, the world is great. Nobody is going to need for anything in 2000. Everybody's going to, he's one of those, blab it, grab it, name it, claim it. Pentecostal. Crazy person. And so he's multi-quadrillionaire because people love to give their money to people like this disgusting human. And so the year 2010, he says, is nothing wanting. This is what I guess God's told him. The number 10 means nothing wanting. The whole cycle is complete and all is ready for his coming. He is told that God has told him that God is coming, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Is this the guy that's saying May 21st, 2011? May 21st, 2011. I'm not sure if this is the guy that's saying that, or was that some other guy yesterday? I can't keep all these weirdos separated. It's a hard time for me. Here's an interesting article. Let's go to Wikipedia first and look at this guy. He is Pentecostal televangelist. Okay, duh. We already heard him. He is very rich, and he goes to all these countries. Well, it was funny, I was reading this yesterday. One country he went to, he told everybody in the whole place, this is like in India or somewhere, and he told everybody there that they were all healed, and they weren't healed, and they started rushing the platform. They almost killed him. let's see if I can... it's so funny. It's funny.
Here it is in India. Here it is. Kerala was in India in 92, and after disturbances erupted in one of his rallies, the Times of India report, a so-called miracle healer, Morris Kerala, who prefers to call himself a man of God, was declared persona non grata and bundled out of the country by Calcutta police this morning after mass healing services at the Park Service Maiden yesterday evening turned into a fiasco when the members of the crowd stormed the dais, challenging the efficacy of his healing power. A later article in the San Diego Union Tribune suggested that Kerala worked the crowd of 30,000 people, and many of them sick and dying, into a frenzy for 2 hours and then pronounced them all cured and prompted many in the crowd to call him a cheat and then to for them to into a riot. Well, those people in India are smarter than the average. Most of them think they are healed until they get home. So, this guy is gross. Well, he's got quadrillion dollars. Quadrillions. Here is an article. From Cephas. And I think I did send this to William Ginn on my website. Morris Kerala is an... he has a 12,000 two-story foot home. Mansion. Behind two secure gates in the richest neighborhood in America, and it's estimated over $12 million. Mr. Kerala and his wife are only two that live there. He's got a Sky Limousine Gulfstream G4, and it's estimated to be worth $50 million. He has two full-time pilots and a stewardess who said in depositions that the plane has a gold-plated interior. He has had three similar private jets since. Morris Kerala claims to be a miracle maker, but he's under investigation right now for being a money taker. John Paul Warren, a former senior executive of Morris Kerala World Evangelism, has filed a lawsuit claiming he was ousted from the organization after confronting Kerala about his unethical and fraudulent fundraising techniques. This is the second such lawsuit against Kerala. Warren, who is highly respected third-generation ordained Assembly of God minister, filed his suit in May of 2000. And supposedly, this guy bought all of Jimmy Swaggart's stuff. He was represented by attorney Dean Broyles and Tim Rutherford of San Diego, Hunter Lundy, based in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Lundy successfully represented Marvin Gorman in his suit against televangelist Jimmy Swaggart. Kerala refers to himself as Dr. Kerala, although he has no degrees. Well, at least it's not Reverend. Reckon he does doctor because he's a healer, supposed healer. Kerala raised millions of dollars and bought defunct PTL network, theme park, and conference grounds from Jim Baker's career and ended when he was convicted of fraud. Kerala purports to have first met God at the age of 8, and since then his life apparently has been one unbelievable experience after another. And he also asked everybody to give them their pocketbooks. So, according to Broyles, Kerala's primary focus is raising millions of dollars in the name of God to support his own personal lavish lifestyle. This guy is a sicko. But anyways, it's awesome. He probably received honorary degrees, but I think if you receive an honorary degree, you shouldn't call yourself that. What the heck's an honorary degree? They go on to say John Harris, Morris Kerala, and Carl Stratter are the only tip of the iceberg of many scoundrels in the Assembly of God denomination who use the sheep for their own gain. Then we have others like Dr. Henry Lyons, Billy, Ned, and Franklin Graham, Robert Tilton, and Jim Baker, to name a few who were into all this horrible things. So it goes on here. The secular news media reported that in Brownsville Assembly of God, which is right over here by me, revival, four pastors involved in the revival each set up personally owned nonprofit corporations to profit from the revival. Unfortunately for the sheep, it's very common in America for TV evangelists and even pastors and preachers to be con artists and thieves. All right, well, let me just tell you about one of those pastors from Brownville. He's over here now in Daphne, Alabama, just about 30 minutes from me here. And he has his own, now he started a church there. It's called the
the anointing of the Holy Spirit or some kind of crazy name like that. And now, and my Mobile Press might be in this paper today. He's having a big conference this week, too. And he, of course, has some big, they have a lot of money, and they, it's not in this portion, but he was advertising. He's been, oh, no, this isn't it. I thought I had it. This is another church. that's another church. But Kilpatrick, John Kilpatrick, he was one of the evil, disgusting Assembly of God wolves from Brownsville Assembly of God. And he has a church now about 30 minutes from me, he and his wife. And they're having a big conference, too, this week, having bad people in. And they're claiming all this stuff, too. It's the rap, you know, the end of church, rapture, the end of the world. And that they all got it directly from God like Irvin Baxter did. You know, we live with all the stuff. Yeah, there he is. Thank you. John Kilpatrick Ministries. What's the name of his church? It's gross. That's a terrible name. And I see he and his wife, they have this big billboard. I got to drive by it all the time. And it doesn't. It's not talking about their new upcoming thing. And it doesn't talk about the name of his church. Oh, here it is. This is what's in the Mobile Press Russia. A picture of an eye. The all-seeing eye. Upcoming events on his page, homepage. Insight. The name of it has got a big old eye. And I mean an eye about the size of my arm. And this is what's in the Mobile Press Register and what's on the billboards. This all-seeing eye, of course. And it has Insight, 2010, January 7th and 8th at the Daphne Civic Center, which is 30 minutes from me here. And you think I would go? No way. I wouldn't be caught dead in there. Anyway, so they're going to have, click here to raise, they're going to have their prophetic visions and dreams, because they always have prophecy. And they're showing, you know, pictures of roads and oceans destroyed. It's going to deal with an earthquake. Pastor Kilpatrick wants to share with his partners and friends of the following visions and dreams that he had in April and May of 2008. He's never posted a vision or dream on the internet, but after talking with some of his close friends, you know who his close friends are? I'm talking wackos. Probably that guy that had all the tattoos and the piercings. But also the other guy, what's his name? I got his books over there. Crazy books. I got a lot. They got a lot of followers right here in Mobile. That's why he built his church right here, 30 minutes away. All right, so he's had these prophetic dreams. His intentions are not to alarm the church or to the public, but to forewarn us and pray concerning what he has seen. At this time, we do not have full revelation or meaning of the vision of the dream, but know that the Lord is trying to warn us and prepare us for the days ahead. Please help us to pray for the Lord's concerning this matter. I bet you everybody, oh, there's a lot of women that are going to come. There will be a lot of women that are going to want to give him all of the prophetic meaning of those visions and dreams. So anyways, I don't like having people like him this close to me. That's for sure. They follow the left-hand path? Yeah, well, they follow the wrong hand for sure. Crazies. All right. Okay. Let me go. Yeah, the women are worse than the men. There's nothing worse than seeing a man act like that, but there's still nothing worse seeing the women, how they react to men that act like that. It's gross. All right, I've got a lot. I've got so much news here. Most of it I just kind of covered through extreme little like comments. We talked at the beginning about all this stuff that's going on from the two killed in Las Vegas courthouse to all these bomb threats and these closing down of airports. Today, Bakersfield Airport's closed down, from the New Jersey one being closed down to the Washington, D.C. one being closed down for a while. The ornament bomb to the Christmas bomb, you know, just, I'm just glad I'm not flying anywhere for a long time. Crazy events like that happening. A lot of them since the technicality that cleared the Blackwater employees
And it says right here that Iraq threatens action after Blackwater case collapse. And this is world news coming from, it doesn't take a rock scientist to figure this one out. And I'm waiting for it to come up. This is coming from the Guardian UK, CO UK. You know, normal, this is a normal media outlet. And it's talking about how Iraq threatens action after Blackwater case collapses, just like what happened in Yemen, but it was in Iraq somewhere where our CIA members were killed, two Blackwater employees when that double agent walked in and blew everybody away into the dining hall. Okay? So these things are happening. Now, Iraq threatens action after Blackwater case collapse. Officials and relatives of 17 Iraqis killed in Baghdad react with fury to the U.S. judge who dismissed all the charges. And Iraqi officials and relatives of 17 Iraqis who were killed in the crowded Baghdad Square in an allegedly unprovoked shooting reacted with fury today when the decision came down. The spokesman for Iraqi government said the collapse in the case in the U.S. courts would lead to an intensified criminal prosecution of Blackwater through the Iraqi legal system. And let's just say that people that also like to take matters in their own hands, which we're seeing an increase of these types of things going on. Interesting, I'm going real fast through some news, and then I've got something I want to talk about real quick. And so we end up having a long hour and a half show because I can't do it in an hour. France, the interesting, was the swine flu a false pandemic? Was this is coming from Pharmalot. Duh. You know, that's another funny thing, isn't it? The swine flu thing. We haven't even gone there yet to talk about it recently, but that's the contention of more than a dozen members of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, which reportedly plans to conduct an inquiry into the influence that drug makers may have had in the World Health Organization. A resolution has been introduced last month by Wolfgang Wardog, a member of Germany's Social Democratic Party, and it reads, in order to promote their, quote, this is it, in order to promote their patented drugs and vaccines against the flu, pharmaceutical companies have influenced scientists and official agencies responsible for public health standards to alarm government worldwide. They have made them squander tight health care resources for inefficient vaccine strategies and needless exposure millions of people to the risk of unknown side effects for this vaccine. The bird flu campaign of 2005-2006 combined with the swine flu campaign seem to have caused a great deal of damage not only to vaccinated patients and to public health budgets, and but they're also to the credibility and accountability of important international health agencies. The definition of alarming pandemic must not be under the influence of drug sellers. Amen to that. Or governments. So was it a false? Yes, of course it was. We saw that from the very beginning. Here's one. I thought this was quite funny. You know, the pharmaceuticals haven't been able to, they scared everybody to death, and then they couldn't make the vaccines fast enough. So they didn't have the wherewithal, they didn't have the employees, they didn't have anything they needed, they didn't have the infrastructure in place in order to get out these quadrillion vaccines to people. So here is a order cancel. I keep getting this thing. It says, here's an article that says, France cancels their order for 50 million 33-degree flu vaccine doses. Came out January 5th from Paris amid the controversy over the costly 33-degree flu vaccine campaign in France. The Health Ministry on Monday announced the cancellation of 50 million doses of vaccine against the epidemic, more than half of what the government had initially ordered. So you order it, and they never got them, so they never gave them out during the flu fear, and now the flu fear is gone, they're going to be stuck with them. You think, oh, Lord, so the next time we have a pandemic, and maybe it'll be real, and then the governments aren't going to be buying the vaccines and no one else can get it. I mean, what do you do? I mean, there's many ways you can look. There's many ways you can look at this situation and see, you know, and I will never know the truth, and maybe there's several ways they're working this thing. It could go this way, plan A, plan B, who knows? Anyways, he said, I've canceled 50 million doses, says the French Health Ministry, Roselyne Bachelet, who on television, she's canceled the doses. vaccine exceeded half the government's total orders and could save more than 350 million euros, which is $504 million. In an effort to prevent a possible massive outbreak, France had originally planned to spend 869 million euros, which is $1,251 million, for 94 million doses in the estimation of each one. So they, listen, they only got a few of them, and then they're canceling. The amount of vaccines France was selling off was just marginal, and so the flu had killed about 200 people in France, and some 5 million people have been vaccinated since October 2009, when the government launched its national campaign against the disease. But it's too funny, isn't it? That's funny. Obama has ordered U.S. government to begin preparing for biological attack. Post office could play a key role in distributing medical aid in event of biological attack, according to the executive order released by the White House. And funny that this comes out the day before or yesterday. I'm waiting for it to come up so I can get you the right date, correct date on this. But this comes out right as everybody in Alabama, all of our Republicans are getting letters, and that's not coming up at all. This is coming from the EU Times, and for some reason my link doesn't work anymore, else it's been taken down, one or the other. I've not seen anything. Maybe it's coming up. Oh, here it is. This is European Union Times, and it could be a made-up newspaper. I've never heard of it before. But it doesn't say that this is an Associated Press article, so who knows? The post office could play it. So this is Obama orders the U.S. government to begin preparing for biological order. Now, that's not been in my mobile press register. Has it been in yours? Number two, the post office could play a key role in the distributing medical aid, blah, blah, blah. The order signed by executive order signed by President Barack directs government agencies, local law enforcement, and U.S. Postal Service to work on a model for distribution of medical countermeasures in the wake of biological attack. Oh, Lord, that's scary. Have you ever been in line at a U.S. Postal Service? You're going to die before you ever get your medicine. Anyways, the order called for a model to be drawn within 180 days, and the order came amid heightened security concerns following the attempt by the U.S.-bound jetliner Christmas Day, a 23-year-old Nigerian. It's in the major media. I haven't seen it. It hadn't been in my mobile press, but I haven't seen it on major media either that Obama signed executive order to start getting things ready. Where is it? Send me a regular media one. It's interesting that this Nigerian guy was 23 years old. We talked about it the other day, but don't you all think that was interesting? Because the number for death and destruction. All right. Okay. Now, interesting, and I'm going quick through these articles because, you know, I'm not going to be on the rest of the week. I'd like to get these things done, so I'll try to remember. Next week, there'll be old news anyway. The Irish Catholic Church sex scandal has been tied to America abuse case. We've talked about on this show about the huge report that just came out that all of Ireland and all the Catholic Church there and all the government were in cahoots to sexually and physically abuse the children of Ireland. And for some reason, now they're reporting it, which I think is interesting. Here, you all these years, you've been able to hide it, and now you're not. Oh, that's weird. Wonder why not. Is that part of provoking people to anger, violence? But they're saying that this is connected to the U.S. That's interesting. The victims of the clergy sex abuse in the U.S. and a group that tracks pedophile priests are calling on the American Roman Catholic leaders and the Irish government to publicly detail known connections between the clergy abuse scandals in these two countries, probably the same priest. Four bishops in Ireland have resigned since the Ryan report revealed how Dublin Archdiocese leaders had covered up the crimes of pedophile priests. The group called the bishopaccountability.org said it has created the first comprehensive web-based database of accused Irish priests who have long worked in the U.S. The group is, I think I want that on my website. The group has asked Boston's Cardinal Sean O'Malley and Rhode Island Bishop Thomas Tobin to reveal the names of any priests accused of sexual abuse after being transferred from Ireland. Bishopaccountability.org also revealed the names of 70 priests accused of sexual abuse, it says, were either born in Ireland or of Irish descent who came to the U.S. Yeah, yeah, I've met a lot of Irish priests. Or who came to the U.S. and continued to be sex abusers. Its website, its pages, it also names the priests and others who says they've been accused of sexual abuse. The group has also asked Irish Prime Minister Brian Cohen for the list of accused Irish priests who have moved to the U.S. diocese or parishes. Bishops in Ireland, just like bishops here, have been moving accused priests around everywhere. So, the Boston Archdiocese said it is committed to doing everything in our power to protect children. Sure. Sure. Sure you have. The Bishop Accountability website looks pretty interesting. I'm going to email that thing to myself. And so I can be sure to remember to check up on it again. And I might, you know, what kind of chunks on that. BishopAccountability.org, exposing the fact that our two countries went hand in hand. Oh, that is not any surprise to me. You know, what caused the power failure of D.C. Airport? A terrorist attack on the computer systems? Y'all, it was so cold in Mobile, and tomorrow's going to be even colder and colder. It's been in 100 years, I don't know, freezing. And I remember the other day I was talking about a couple weeks ago, there's no chemtrails out there. And, you know, either Obama has stopped all chemtrails, and I wanted y'all to report to me if you're seeing chemtrails where you live, but I can't remember the last time I've seen a chemtrail. I cannot remember. And I play tennis, and when I play tennis, I toss the ball up. And when I toss the ball up to serve, I look up. And I always look at the chemtrails. And I take my eye off the ball, and then I have to catch it and start over, okay? And so I run the dogs outside an hour every day. I see chemtrails. I'm looking outside right now. I have a window I'm looking out. I see chemtrails. I have not seen a chemtrail. Well, you know, chemtrails have been keeping us warm. I wish they'd have been chemtrails. I'm just kidding. I mean, it's so cold. Y'all don't know how cold it is down here. Our whole country is under ice, even to my... And it started making me think of that movie. We went over that movie a couple years ago on this show, and it's that movie where our whole country turns to ice, and everybody... tries to go into South America, or they're going to die. I mean, of course, it got a little colder than what it's getting now, but everybody's dying. If it's this cold here in Mobile, I can't imagine what y'all are up in Chicago and Michigan and Wisconsin. I mean, I don't know how your heat, and anybody could ever even afford heat. All right, so, and all the snowbirds that come down here, they're here bringing the cold. I guess they think this is warm. I don't know. Getting down the teens. I mean, the highs are just 40. Y'all, it's freezing. All right, so, there's a movie out there, and I can't remember the name of it, but basically the country's, this global warming causes the world to freeze, okay? And so, that's what the movie's about, global warming causing freezing. And everybody from this country has to go to South America in order to survive. And so they're trying to pour through the, through all of our border crossings, and Mexico... And South America will not let us come into their country. And so they got all these border control, and they won't let us in. So we're trying to get over there any way we can. You know, over fences, under bridges, through trucks. And so not too many people, they don't allow us into Mexico, to South America. I thought that was quite funny. That was a quite funny show. All right. Interesting about Tom Horn. He is he's got a $10,000 Grand National Cipher giveaway contest, Tom Horn, because of his book. He's got the lost symbol. This is what he says. Best-selling author Tom Horn. I don't know who claims he's best-selling author, because everybody claims that, don't they? Best-selling author Tom Horn earlier this year announced a contest to find the true lost symbol, which Dan Brown didn't get understood, but for some reason would not reveal in his latest. Y'all, he didn't reveal it, the lost symbol, in his book. I have to agree. Supposedly, the lost symbol was God's word. So, you know, from what my reading it myself, the symbol of God's, anyways, it was the obelisk and the sun hitting the obelisk pyramids. Basically, what the symbol, I don't know. It was hard to figure out. So, Tom Horn says he's got a contest for everybody. If you can guess What Dan Brown understood but for some reason would not reveal in the latest novel, the same title, The Lost Symbol, Tom Horn will give you $10,000 in cash plus a 200-year-old enigmatic item to the first... He's going to give you a 200-year-old something or other. To the first person that solves the final clue to the greatest mystery of all time in January. He's going to do it. He's going to give us 10 grand. Makes you want to go join up and try to figure out what the lost symbol is. So he's got that book out, you know. Oh, I forget the name of it. 2012 and End of the World, Armageddon, and the lost symbol and all this stuff. And Tom Horn knows what it is. He's friends with those people and what... Listen to this, a great article, Turning Our Children into Orwellian Eco-Spies. Well, that's been going on for a long time. Your kids will report you if you use that paper plate and you don't read. You should have heard all that, everybody open christening presents. We got to recycle, don't throw it away, you know. Recycle. Now I'm trying not to make sure anybody reports me if I don't recycle. And it's making the children becoming eco-spies, Orwellian eco-spies. Three approved genetically modified corn has been leaked to organ damage, and that's coming out of Blacklisted News. Well, they're reporting it, but I think it came when it comes up here. If it was a little faster, I could do my show faster. Three approved genetically modified food, corn, has been linked to organ damage. And no doubt. You wonder how much our animals get this organ damage. Here's an interesting article about how spiritual films are bringing in the bucks in Hollywood. It's a Washington Post article about how all these shows like Avatar are all spiritual films. Of course, Avatar is eco Mother Earthism, and this is on Faith in the Washington Post, and it's saying that all of our shows that are bringing in all the big books in Hollywood are all spiritual films.
Ooh,
religious. Hollywood is getting more religious is the title of it, as spiritual films bring in the bucks. They said it's everywhere in the multiplex these days, religion, or if that word makes you uncomfortable, you can go on more with spirituality. In the movies, as varied as The Dead series, The Road, The Blind Side, and The Invention of Lying, and James Cameron's sci-fi Avatar, issues of faith and morality and mankind's place in the universe are all the rage. You talk about New Age guruism and the divinity of Mother Earth. my computer's locking up here. The Vatican is revealing secret archives.
Ooh, do 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 do.
Vatican reveals secret archives. It's coming out of the Telegraph. That came out on a few days ago. This is kind of old news. I've had it for a while. Came out January 1st. The Vatican reveals a 13th century letter from Genghis Khan's grandson demanding homage from the Pope is among a collection of documents from the Vatican's secret archives that have been published for the first time. So Genghis Khan's grandson wanted homage from the Pope. That's funny. The Holy See's archive contains scrolls, parchments, and leather-bound volumes and correspondence dating back more than 1,000 years. 19 of which have never been seen in public before. The Vatican's secret archives features a papal letter to Hitler. I'd like an entry to Rome. We need to get these things. Vatican's, these are all related articles. Vatican sells a faxy smiles of Henry VIII letter that led to schisms with Rome. The Vatican planned to move to Portugal if the Nazis had captured the wartime Pope. Oh, brother. Vatican denies reports that the Pope will give Prince Charles historic divorce documents. Charles and Camilla will be to be reminded of the Pope's view of divorce. Vatican stalling on secret files which could prove wartime Pope ignored the Holocaust. So they're stalling on some of these. one of their letters in the archive are more personal. It's a 1550, the year 1550 note from Michelangelo demanding payment from the papacy, which was 3 months late, and complained that the papal conclave had interrupted his work in the dome of the St. Peter Basilica. That's funny. A yellow parchment covered in neat black script reveals details of 14th century trials of the Knights Templar on suspicion of heresy, of which, you know, we'd like to, you know, they know they're giving us these things, you know, only what they allow us to have. They go on to say, an aura of mystery is always surround the important cultural institutions of the Holy See due to the illusions of inaccessible secrets, thanks to its very name, as well as to the publicity it has always enjoyed in literature and in media. So, one of the most unusual documents in it is a letter written in birch bark in 1887 by Ojibwe Indian of Ontario, Canada, to Pope Leo VIII, or 13th, or whatever. The letter written in May, but datelined, where there is much grass in the month of the flowers, addressed to the pontiff as a great master of prayer, and offered thanks to the Vatican for having a saint of custodian prayer, a bishop to preach to them. So, no, oh, I'm sure that Indian was real happy about that. That cracks me up. Here's one, the theology of the green apocalypse. So the apocalypse that we're having, y'all, is going to be in a green apocalypse. That's funny. That's real funny. How does biblical thought relate to climate change? What are the theological insights churches can offer in a world facing an unprecedented ecological crisis? Yeah, all the churches becoming green. Everybody promotes himself as green nowadays. We got this green apocalypse coming. South Africa doctor sees drug resistance HIV. And then let's see, I never did. Oh, here's what I want to talk about, and then I got to go. The Year of the Youth. Project 2012. And there's another thing about youth. Now, we've talked about on this show before, who do they want to fight the Civil War? Kids, okay? And there's many out there training children for war through video games and through brainwashing, through violent movies, violence begetting violence, parents and churches and groups training children to fight in this country. I ain't talking about Iran, okay? I'm sure it's happening there too. At the same time, you have the Pentecostal Assembly of God, and you've got this Jesus movement. You have this Joel's Army movement, and you have this. Here's another thing. We've talked about all the others. Here's one called the Year of the Youth Project 2012. Now, who do you think want to do the spark? They want all of our universities, kind of like it was back in the 60s. Here is, it's called Year of the Youth. You can type .org. yearofyouth.org. Project 2012. When you get to the site, see the vision for Project 2012, and it says, learn the issues, whose time has come. Come join the front, it's cool, cool kids are here. It's called Youth Liberty Front, and it all begins January 1st, 2010, youthlibertyfront.com, and this is a video of the Youth Revolution Project 2012. And of course, it's Project 2010. This Year of the Youth is already making a splash on college campuses. The Observer at Boston College covered the progress of the Year of the Youth. Disillusioned by Obama administration, rapid conversions from change to same. Young people are flocking to join the cause. In a few short months, the Year of Youth Project has grown to a network of over 1,500 members, especially increasing surge in membership, should serve as a sign of power that the youth are mobilizing. They're organizing. They're rising. Here it says, click here and watch details of the secret plan. How come they're letting us all see it? That will make history with your help. And let's read first before we go there. Read the Youth Manifesto. The Youth Revolution, they're calling it. We will below you will join our mailing list. Let's see. We will strive for viral growth and spontaneous organization. We look now for a public Facebook group called the Youth Revolution. And I'm trying to find their what they stand for. Here's their manifesto of Project of the Youth Manifesto. And the generation needs a new revolution. They're in there quoting Thomas Jefferson, a 33-degree Mason. And he says, in this time of crisis and national decline, the youth of America bear responsibility to step up and speak out against the destructive policy of our so-called leaders. Both major parties bow and scrape before the altar of the status quo, using their time and power to expand Leviathan government, shed the liberties of American people. Changes come to empty slope. You know, so this is they're trying to get kids all fired up for a revolution. Who do you think they want to do it? Now, I want to, I don't want to spend the whole next 4 minutes going over this because I'm not through with this issue yet, but here's a little video on it, and I can tell you I've not watched it, I don't think. I have to rewatch because this is kind of old news. Let me see if I've watched it or not. It's hard for my membranes to read.
We are, we are.
It's a kid, yeah, I watched it. We are the youth of the nation, and they're saying that it is our time. But let me read it to the youth revolution, and it says, and it's just got pictures and singing that song. 21st century belongs to us, but in the beginning, there was a Bush, and they talk about the debt that we put in. They got a picture of George Bush sitting there reading about the on 9/11 when he was reading the book about goats, remember? There was a Bush, and there was a debt, the inflation. This is all about signs of trouble and banking, war and taxes in 08, turmoil. These are legacy. Here's one of the jobs, all jobs disappearing, John McCain, Pelosi. They're just, you know, and then they're showing everybody in revolution across the world. And so this is all just we are.
President Obama, are you listening?
No, let's start over. Let me get where they start talking instead of we are. Here we go.
Okay, look at where we are in the election cycle.
Huge disconnect
between Wall Street and Main Street.
Where do you draw the line with our money?
It is not your money. In fact,
it is. It is taxpayers' money.
We'll get it passed. I came back and suspended my campaign.
Mr. President, I've received 91,000 phone calls and emails from California. 85,000 of them opposed to this measure. I think if we really do care about the livelihood of our constituents, there's only one vote, and it is yes.
But in the end of the day, there's no real separation. There's only the road we're traveling on as Americans. I urge my colleagues to join me in supporting this important legislation.
And it comes down to one word, jobs. Jobs, so we can create jobs in our country. People have to know that this isn't about a bailout of Wall Street.
We look forward to working closely with Congress to resolve this financial crisis.
So I propose that the federal government reduce the risk posed by these troubled assets and supply urgently needed money so banks and other financial institutions can avoid collapse and resume lending.
And here we...
Investors unloaded stocks in a frenzy on Monday. It came on the heels of another interest rate cut in the U.S.
But more than a half million Americans lost their jobs in November.
Congressman, this is getting out of...
What we're doing today is going to make things much worse.
President Obama, are you listening?
Contrary to the rumors that you've heard, I was not born in a manger. I was actually born on Krypton and sent here to save the planet Earth.
Thank you.
this is the year of the youth. They're coming after everybody and shares. Their website is yearofyouth.org, and on their website they have their graphics, which are their icon. Their symbol is a red and white and blue type flag with pentagrams, three pentagrams on them. And they've got lots of pictures here. They got some military guys saying Adam Kokesh endorses Year of the Youth. Decentralize, localize, empower, get liberty, join us today. Youth will take back their government. These are all their headlines. These are all their pictures that they have, these advertising things for signs and stuff, photos for 11/5 push, 11/5/2012, see you there. They must be doing something at 11/5. They've got remember the 5th of November, which is, you know, what's his name, I forget his name, that movie Vengeance. Join Project 2012. All right, so the Year of the Youth. The team, something else she wants me to look at. The Year of the Youth of the team, yeah, who's in charge? Well, they're not going to give us the front guys. These will be the back front guys, but I'm sure members of CMP is probably one of them. Jared Fuller, he's probably a member of Fuller Seminary. Yeah, Fuller Seminary. Jared is currently North Carolina Chairman of Young Americans for Liberty, Southern Director of Students for Liberty, blah, blah, blah. He was a student in Wake Forest, political science philosophy. Christopher Pill with his, look at that guy's earring. College of Goucher College, Director of Young America for Liberty. Chris Bowen, Press Secretary. He's also ran Ron Paul's, also volunteered at the Arlington headquarters for Ron Paul's presidential campaign. Tyler Millage, he worked at trying to get concealed weapons on campus. He worked for North Carolina Field Representative Leadership. Yeah, look at these teams. Interesting. So, okay, a bunch of kids. Their national election is the national election is November 5th. Okay. Oh, interesting. All right, so this project, Year of the Youth, I reckon they'll be pushing it in all the, kind of like the Manhattan Declaration, which has somehow all of a sudden disappeared off the news. Think that's funny. Here is the Passion 2010. It draws 21,000 university students. It is called Passion 2010. Can we gag? More than 20,000 university students from 40 countries have converged in Atlanta. I hope they're gone because I'm fixing to go there tomorrow and I don't want them. So more than 20,000 university students from 40 countries have converged in Atlanta for a four-day gathering that has been touted as more than just an event or a conference. Passion is a movement, say organizers. Passion 2010, its heartbeat is to see a global awakening among the generation of collegiate. You know, they got the same memo. So this is the Christian Youth, Year of the Youth. And then you have the secular humanist Year of the Youth. But that other one, both of them are supposedly right wing, you know. Passion of the movement, Sarah, they want a global awakening among generation of collegiate and university age young people to impact their communities and the world for glory, for the glory of God. Since 97, Passion has been uniting 18 and 25 year olds in worship and prayer for spiritual awakening on the college campuses of the nation and the world. It's being led by Louis Gigolo. I wonder if he's a gigolo. Gigolio. I don't know how you say his name. The movement seeks to spread the gospel of the nation to more than 16 million college students and the countless others around the globe. I need to check who this Gigolio is. Will you send me the Wikipedia link on this guy? Louis Gigolo. G-I-G-L-I-O. Gigolio. When we began planning for the Passion 2010, we had one thought in our mind, that a generation would awaken. You know, that's what like I told my mom, I said, you know what, the only reason why anybody's ever awakening now to what's happening and that their country's going down is because Fox News and the Illuminati want them to wake up. They want the youth to wake. Everybody wants everybody to wake up and smell the roses. Take off those rose-colored glasses and see what's going on. And you know why? And then they got the people out there like Alex Jones to scare them all to death. And then everybody just goes crazy. When we began... all right, so... Since 97, Passion's annual four-day conference has witnessed attendance from 2,000 now to 20,000. This year, participants will be joined by Giglio. I think we announced this last year. The guest speakers are John Piper, Beth Moore, Andy Stanley, and Francis Kahn. As well as worship leaders are going to be Chris Tomlin, David Crowder Band, Matt Redman, and the Hillsong United. Students also participate in the movement's Do Something Now campaign, an effort to tangibly impact communities around the globe. So, it's going to be held at the Phillips Arena in Georgia. It will run until Tuesday. Oh, good. It's going to be over time I get there. I bet they don't bother to mention that the movie The Passion was a lie. So, they're trying to get kids passionate. Get kids passionate and then give them a gun. That's what they're trying to do. No-brainers here. All right, last story. I ain't telling no more. I can't do any more. You know what? You remember that we played it on the show the other day last week about those couple that were flying in the airplane with the crotch bomber? And that they saw, when they were all being quarantined, they saw the authorities come and arrest somebody and handcuff them. And take them away, and then all the disinformation being put out in the news that was not from the same flight, that he was already there, and all the stuff. Finally, they have come out with that there was a guy from the flight that had been. They have finally admitted that the passenger from flight Northwest Flight 253 was placed in handcuffs, searched and released after security dog alerted officers to the passenger's carry-on luggage. And, you know, they don't tell us what it was. So they call them underwear bomb. Here's a guy. White House advisory briefed in October on the underwear bomb technique. So here you have an article here where the White House advisor briefed in October about underwear bombs. Pretty soon they'll have inner cavity bombs. They're going to have to do cavity searches. Gross. That's gross. These guys will do cavity. Why don't they just swallow the stuff and then send a match down their throat? The White House counterterrorism, John Brennan, was briefed in October on an assassination attempt by al-Qaeda that investigators now believe used the same underwear bombing technique as a Nigerian suspect who tried to blow up this 253. This is in Newsweek. The brief Brennan was delivered by the White House by Mohammed bin Saudi Arabia's chief counterterrorism official had survived an assassination attempt by an operative dispatched by a Yemeni branch of al-Qaeda who was pretending to turn himself in. The operative had tried to kill the Saudi police by detonating a bomb that was on his body, but stumbled on his way to the prince's office and blew himself up. Saudi officials initially thought the bomb had been secretive by the operative's cavity. Oh, here it is. Officials initially thought the bomb had been secretively placed in the bodies in this kid's anal cavity. But after investigation matter thoroughly, they concluded that it had been in his underwear. Well, you know, what do you do about that? Okay, so. It's just interesting. They let that guy go. For sure. Okay. That's all I'm going to talk about, was the fact that Citizens for Legitimate Government if you're interested,
list of some articles and information about that that I've sent. It's on the website about that whole shenanigan crotch critter, the crotch bomber, underwear bomber. So, all right, you sent me something here. Lilia, let's go to Louis Giglio. Louis Giglio, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, should have known. So he was a Baptist, went to Baylor. They moved from their home of Waco, Texas to Atlanta. He formed the beginning of the PASH movement in 95. I guess that's how all the university students got involved in the election this year. Passion Conference is hosted in 2010, and over 20,000 university students are expected to attend. The Passion Movement seeks to inspire generations to live, to make Jesus famous. It is rooted in Isaiah 26:8. Yes, Lord, walk in the way of your laws. We will wait for you. And that's the New International Version, which is... let's see. I'm just going over quickly. So, all right. And then, let's see. You sent me one other thing. I hope I don't lose it. You're the youth. Okay. Before that. Obama anthrax medicine postal service delivery. Biotech postal could distribute aid. Oh. All right. All right, so what do you have here? Something every person should know. You sent it to me about the 33 conspiracies that turned out to be true, what every person should know article. Oh, we'll go over those some other time. There's more than 33 conspiracies that are true out there. There's a lot of conspiracies that are true out there. So, all right. Well, we are out of time today. I need to completely get off the air here. I was supposed to do a one-hour show, and I can never do it when everything's backed up like it was. And so now I feel like there are some years I didn't get. There's still more news. And the most interesting things that I think that aren't just generally out there that you need to see, I put on my website as best I can, that are exposing some of the plans that they're doing out there. And so I do try to send those to William and get them on the web. There's no way to do everything on the website because there's too much. So, and there's one article here I'm waiting for it to come up, and it's not coming. It's loading. Well, and I can't remember what it was because it's not telling me. Yeah, I got your 33 conspiracies. I got it. I read some of it today. But, Hold on. Sherry's sending me so much stuff so fast I can't look at it all. You're talking about it's new age, this.
I don't understand why this has gotten blowed up so big.
Oh,
you know,
now
I
remember.
Children. We'd never do anything to harm our kids.
Jojo Marsh is proud of the tattoos that her boyfriend put on her arms and legs.
Yeah, these were done with a homemade gun.
But Chautauqua County Sheriff John Everett says Marsh went too far by tattooing her and her boyfriend's children, a 10-year-old, two 11-year-olds, a 12.
This lady's got tattoos and tongue rings and eye rings and all kinds of stuff. And her boyfriend, they have 6, 7, 8 kids. Okay, it's gross. And they tattooed all across on their kid, a mark on their kid's hand. A mark. And they were tattooed. Luckily, the government's going to take these kids away from these gross parents. You ought to see her tattoos on her. They're the most disgusting things you have ever seen. And they use the same needle on all the kids, you know. Something about, Sherry's sending me something about the passion, the movement, global awakening, new age. I'm not sure what that means. So, all right. Well, folks, we are out of time. I will be back Monday. The, what is it, the 11th? And, you know, a little bit, there's got to be some sanity amidst all the craziness of the media and the craziness of the so-called churches and the craziness of the so-called Hollywood and the craziness of the so-called Americans and Muslims and of the whole world. And the insanity, of course, the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and His Word of God is the only sanity there is, and it's the only truth that's out there, and it's the only thing we need. And the rest of it's just really, it is, the rest of it's just insane. And these, what do you mean 33 conspiracies? The only conspiracy I'm worried about, because those, they always let the conspiracies out that they want. The one I talk about is one for your soul, our soul, my soul, your soul. The one for against God's God, conspiracy against God and His people. And yes, all these other conspiracies that are all out there, like JFK and whatever. The ones that have come true, like Operation Northwoods and all these other ones. They're out there. Just the fact that a guy put out 33 of them tells you they want them out there. So everybody to know how many conspiracies actually do exist. That is another one of their thumbprints. That is another secret handshake right there. So I thought that was real interesting when he used the number 33. Well, we'll be back tomorrow, well, I mean Monday, with more of the Brian Crocs. May the Lord bless you and keep you from evil. And we'll be back. God bless.